I think for me, what sticks out is the opportunity for transformation.
Welcome back, everyone. And last time we were talking about conflict, approaching conflict and changing times, uncertain times. And we were just sharing our techniques of how we approach that that unpleasant feeling within us of drastic change, of large amounts of contrast, of all the conflict that we're experiencing through the world right now. And last time we shared some really beautiful stories about how we navigated conflict. So, Sal, you want to tell us about how you
navigate the times that we're going through right now? Yes, 100%. You know, I think that it's really, really important to recognize that, number one, no matter what you're going through, you're not by yourself. You're never by yourself. As much as you may, the mind runs, it'll take you to that place that maybe I'm the only one who's going through this. And what I find is that once you recognize that you're not by yourself, that if I'm going through this, I'm guaranteed there's many going through this. So how do I get through that? Is that when those challenging times come, the markers are going to be emotional. And the minute that I'm emotional, I recognize the fact that my emotions are coming forward because of something that happened in the past. So at the same time, what I'm doing is I'm flushing out whatever is coming up. And how do I do that? I connect with the breath. Because I think breathing deep and really grounding yourself, really, really, truly grounding yourself helps with that process. So for me, one is recognizing I'm not by myself. I'm not the only one going through this. And number two is start on your breath. Because if you can take a nice deep breath and hold it, hold it, hold it beyond what your capacity is, all of a sudden you're going to find that you're just going to bring a little bit of more calmness into your system. And then the last thing, because we're trying to stick to three, so, and the last thing that I do is when the mind is running and all of this is not helping, I have to become active. So whether it's I jump into the shower, or whether it's going outside, or whether it's me doing something, whether it's baking or cooking or something. In other words, I have to change my physiology. So once again, recognize that you're not going through this by yourself. Recognize too that your breath is going to get you through whatever it is that you're going through. And if that fails, three is change your physiology.
Yep. Beautiful. Maida, last time you were speaking about the unexpected loss of several of your family in a 7-month period and the challenge of going back into the heart. Can you share, like, how did you find that? Because I find, like, with a lot of clients that I'm working with, the biggest challenge to finding that space of forgiveness or finding that space of love again, going into the heart, is resistance. This resistance to go there. How did you work with that?
You said it so perfectly. It's a very strong resistance. One, because I don't want her to be there again in my heart, because it's so painful. And so what I ended up doing was, like Sal said, beautiful. I did breath work. I started doing this breath work. And the breath work, it's like, come down to your heart. I'm like, okay, but I don't want to go in because I don't want to see her, kind of thing. I kept blocking. And it was October 24th. It was her birthday. And I woke up that morning and something had said to me, it's like, don't focus on the sadness. Focus on the memory, celebrate the memories. Like, it was like a perspective shift, because the whole time I was grieving and I'm sad and I can feel that emotion sitting in my body. But that day I said, yes, I'm going to change that perspective. Not that, oh, I lost this person, more that thank God for the memories. And that just allowed me to flush that resistance out. It was so powerful, because now it was like, what's really real? You know, like, if I go in my heart and I'm in that space and I see her, and like, you know, I was in a space where we had gone to Costa Rica together. I was literally in the car with her. I'm looking at her. We're driving. I can see the landscape. And I said to myself, is being awake a dream, or is this a dream? Like, what's reality really? And I'm going to enjoy this moment with her. It was like a whole perspective shift. And that was sort of the part where I was like, okay, because it was that resistance. It was a wall. Yeah. And it was a long time. And I missed going into my heart. But at the same time, it was too painful. But yeah, it was. And so now I'm so grateful. So it's like, if she does come, which she has come to me lately, I just cherish it. It's like, I don't question, is this real? This is not real. She's not real. No, what is real? Really, seriously, what is real? Right?
Yeah. Changing the story is really such a powerful tool. It's like, it just switches up the energy so easily. That imagery just changes, and then suddenly we see it in a completely different light, and it opens up everything for us. It makes us vulnerable. It creates this de-armoring thing when we are able to do that and take us out of loops. And yeah. It's like, for me, the spectrum of pleasure to pain is so close. It's hurt and pleasure and bliss. They're on such similar wavelengths, just on other sides of the scale. And it's like, just, it's like if this was a scale and we were going like this, it's like grief and trauma and heartbreak is like the weight is on here. And it's not so balanced. It's like changing the story helps us shift this weight back to here or back to here again, so that it's like it becomes this equilibrium kind of thing, which, for me, it's that part about sitting with the resistance and noticing, the feelings, which is including, Agathy, your advice last time about just pausing, right? Just stop. And then Sal, the just breathe, like breathe, allow, I always say to people, allow fear the space to breathe, or allow hurt the space to breathe, allow shame the space to breathe, allow all of those emotions, just a little bit more space to expand inside of us so that we can actually work with it, right? And that resistance is so telling. It has such a large amount of wisdom within that. And we're too scared to sometimes face and confront it, because the information that might be in there might be the story, the changed perspective story, like you were just sharing there, Maida, the story was in the resistance itself, which was the story of gratitude, the story of depth of the connection. This is just, it was different. It unlocked all this other potential of bliss to come through, but not withholding that unwillingness to feel into the loss and unwillingness to feel into the pain. And I find that resistance is often our unwillingness to feel into the hurt and the pain, which for me is so evident that separates us from the heart. It causes us divisiveness. Us not wanting to feel pain creates a resistance to go into the heart, because heartbreak, there's reason we call it heartbreak. It's because we feel this deep, 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 deep hurt. But that's also part of our divinity. We can't run away from it. We talk a lot about the bliss of things, you know, the pleasure, but at the same time, that deep, deep, deep hurt is also just as much a part of this experience.
Yeah,
I just wanted to add, you know, one of the things there I have to say was that I let go of my own judgment for crying. I let go of my own judgment for, I gave myself permission to grieve. I think prior to really going into my heart, I probably wouldn't have, I would have just suck it up, you know, like tighten up, don't show any emotions. Whereas this point, I showed my emotions to my kids, to my husband. My sister has 3 children, so they're my nieces and nephews, and I showed it to them. I showed my tears so that they can have their tears. It's okay. We would sit together. I would call them all and we would sit together and eat together, and I would cry. And I wanted to show them that it is okay. And I think that gave me permission, that sense of not having that tightness, that restrictiveness, it allowed me to grieve. And then it became like a flow. Like it was, the river flowed. It came to this point. I needed to grieve. And then that one day on a birthday, okay, the flow is going elsewhere. Like it's now turning into something that we celebrate the memories rather than grieve. It just happened organically. Like it just wasn't, but I think it's because I didn't have that resistance anymore. I had it before. So I interrupted yourself, but that's self-forgiveness, that non-judgment, because you're right, Chris, there were parts where I was like, I wish I had done this for her. I wish I had done that for her. Maybe she wouldn't have had the heart issue. Maybe all of that ran through me like the loop. If I had done, if I had said this, if I had, all of that comes back to us, but I let that go. Yeah, it took a while. But once I released that, it allowed the flow. And then a couple of months, it took 2 months. Like it's not an easy process. And then it just allowed me to celebrate her now rather than grieve her. Yeah.
2 months is still extremely fast.
Yeah.
It is. Fast. It is. Yeah. There. And culturally, you know, we talk about grief. There are so many cultures that require you to do. They have a timeline, you know, and the grieving process is respected and it goes on for months and months and months and months. And if one grieves in their own unique way, you know, unfortunately, you know, it is judged. But that's for another day. But what I was going to say was, I think there's so much importance that we, you know, when we speak about unity and unity consciousness and bringing the wholeness, I think there's definitely a real important part of this where we have to recognize that those beautiful, more dense emotions and feelings that we have are necessary as well. And I think that in itself is unity as well. is we are actually just like taking heaven and earth and bringing it together. We are also taking the beautiful moments that we have along with those emotions and feelings and bringing the density together. That in itself is also happening. And I think that, you know, I would not judge myself. I would say, okay, this is something that I need to process and I need to recognize that this is how I'm feeling. And I think there's also one other thing that came to mind with not only respecting both the more dense and the light side of our feelings and emotions that have to unify as well. And that is that when you look at what's happening around you, you have to remember that some of what you're feeling and sensing and taking on does not necessarily have to make sense to you. It doesn't belong, not all of it will belong to you personally. Some of it is hereditary, and some of it is what's happening on the globe. And you know, we might want to touch on that, because I have been in high spirits and all of a sudden I've taken three steps into some store where I had to pick up groceries or something, and all of a sudden it's boom. I want to erupt.
Yep.
I am so full of sadness. But being in the school of the heart has taught me to recognize what is mine and how I can process this and do the work for others. And so, you know, I think there's a real need to understand that not everything needs to make sense and not everything belongs to you personally.
Yep. Yep. Like death, it can, we can get so angry. Most of us, actually, if we've ever had a close one pass, we can get really angry. And what are we really angry at? A lot of people find a need to be angry at something. Angry at the doctor who couldn't be there to save their loved one. Angry at God because they took their loved one away too soon. Angry at themselves for not taking enough action. And we tend to go to our logical side and go, well, what am I angry at? Who do I need to be angry at? And why am I angry? And then we sort of, a lot of us might ignore it or shame it or shun it because we're like, well, there's no one to be angry at. Like, it just happened, but we're still angry. And we didn't actually honor that feeling that was there. And that's also then becomes part of that resistance that I feel. That is, we're not actually accepting everything that we're feeling. And okay, being okay with that, right? And then once you can accept it, you can breathe into it, you pause a little and go, oh, I'm actually angry. I've got some anger shown up and I don't have a reason for it. And it's like, oh, but it's okay. You don't need a reason for it. It's okay just to feel it. Then we find it a much easier process to bring that energy into the heart, that pain into the heart, the uncomfortable feeling of anger into the heart, right? And so, yeah, the brain really does want to kick in so much. We've been taught that. And this is really, for me, very old paradigm-y stuff, right? As we're going into this new age, we're finding our feelings are heightened, our sense of intuition's heightened. And the mind seems to be playing less and less of a role. Because you think about it, before, the mind, it's all about planning. We want to plan our way out of conflict. We want to plan our way out of uncertainty. We want to build a roadmap or find a project person or put things, all your ducks in line so that you can work your way out of uncertainty. Right now, you do that. The plan is not going to play out. You want to travel somewhere? Good luck. Good luck if you buy your flights just this week. Might not be there next week. Good luck. If you try and plan anything, like you try and plan a work, a good luck to you. Next week, you shut down. You want to plan a birthday that 10 people are gathering. next moment the city is shut down. So planning has literally gone out the door. Just doesn't work anymore. And we always said this, like Daniel Drinvalo said this back in 2012, right? They're like, when the age of the masculine is over, we won't have planning. We won't have these mental constructs and structures. They won't exist. And that's what we're kind of going through right now. That we can try all we like, but it's ineffectual.
Agathy, what about you? What are you comfortable being uncomfortable with now? Like, what was uncomfortable before, but now you've become comfortable with it?
I think, you know, it's interesting that Maida's story and Chris sharing and the whole conversation and what it, where, you know, how it flows. And I think for me, what sticks out is the opportunity for transformation. And I think from the whole story that Maida shared, it was, and, you know, you spoke about the feelings, right? What's coming up, the resistance. And I understand that's a step, right? That's a hurdle that you have to get over. But at that moment, it created that opportunity. You used this opportunity. You made this choice. Let me put it this way. And you transformed the whole perspective. And I think lots of people have gone through very traumatic experiences in their lives, used it as an opportunity to transform consciously or unconsciously, right? It's just where it takes you. Their own perspective about life, their own perspective about death, their own perspective about the different things that are happening in our lives. As, you know, Chris was saying, you know, control and what's going to happen tomorrow. And that's an opportunity. That's an opportunity to actually transform our belief, our idea of I need to plan for something and it definitely needs to happen, you know, in the next month. And if it doesn't, then I'm going to be devastated and I cannot function without it. That's a belief that we have for ourselves. So I think I know that we are ready. We are ready as a consciousness of humanity. I know that we are ready. That's why we're going through this. And we've been here, you know, it's a choice. It was a conscious choice, even if you remember it or not. We decided to be here, to go through this. So I'm sure that this is an opportunity for a transformation of the whole humanity. And actually creating a world, creating a life, creating whatever we want to live in, we want to be part of, supporting each other in whatever difficulties we feel we are going through, either it's loss or, you know, there's so many things that every day, you know, we are going through. So it's I had this thing in mind earlier, you know, how about people that don't know they have a choice? Because we're here, we've done, you know, so much work, but there are so many people out there that they feel they don't have a choice, that they feel they have to go through this process and end up sad, lonely lives, you know, they can't, you know, find that step over the resistance. They can't get over that.
That's how when we all come in, right? That's when we have to realize the unity. We have to realize that if I'm okay here and someone over there is suffering, then everything isn't okay. It is my responsibility to step up, to do whatever I can. Because we're all in this together. We're not by ourselves. As much as some of us will think, that was not my choice. That is not something I wanted to go through. As much as all of that is something that we're all having to go through, I can feel what you've gone through. And I know that there are a lot of people out there. And whoever these listeners are, that you know someone, just reach out. And all you need to do is say to them, is there something that I can do? Just knowing that someone's there for you is more than enough sometimes. And especially now, especially at this time, around this time of the year, around what is happening with everything everyone's going through. And for the parents, I know for me, the big thing is my hat's off to you, but your patience is something that's needed right now, because the children, they don't even know how to verbalize what they're feeling and going through. The animals that are around you, the dogs, the cats, they don't know how to verbalize what they're going through. So once again, we're in this together. It's our responsibility to reach out and say, you matter. And how can I help? What can I do? And there might be nothing that you think you can do, but that one person, all they needed to know was someone cared enough to say that they mattered.
Yep. Yeah. Beautiful. And so I think one of the things that we can do in this series is start to offer live Zoom School of the Heart community calls. I think this is quite an exciting initiative that we want to open up to the floor. Questions, ask us anything. So we can all feel like we're heard, we're seen, and there is a place for you to join us, join our community and be a part of it. So we haven't set a date yet, but it will probably, what do you think, before Christmas? I think it'd be nice before Christmas to get something set up. And we'll have some of our teachers on, and we'll make it a live call-in show and see what happens.
It'll be beautiful.
That's so beautiful. I wanted to share an experience. You were talking about, Chris, it's that, you know, that sort of planning everything, doing everything. And I remember one of the workshops that Daniel had done with us. And I think it was the prayer of Saint Therese. And it was in Toronto. And it was so powerful because I didn't know what to expect. But when he lifted up the eye cover, like he had tears and he just said, wow, like that was so powerful. And that moment for me was so defining, because the surrender that I saw that Daniel had given, like, yeah, of course, there's a couple of things written out, but then he just goes, right? It's like, then you're in that surrendered stage in your heart, and what comes, what messaging comes to you is not structured. It's not planned, right? And that inspired me so much that I set that intention that as I grow in my own journey, you know, setting the intention that I want to be grounded. I want to be in my heart. And so when I go out every day, that light shines for me. And like Sal said, like, how can I help someone else? I'm just here to listen. I'm just holding space for you. There's no judging. There's nothing. I'm just holding space mm-hmm. for you, because I'm able to, because I'm in that space of my own groundedness. And so what happened over the past year is I've practiced, when I do certain workshops, not having notes. And that's really frightful. Actually, it was 2 years ago. I was guided to do a workshop. And then, you know, it said, oh, I had all these notes ready. And then the whole meditation went a whole different way because it was a heart meditation. And it taught me to start to surrender and trust my intuition. And having that trust, understanding that there is a team, there is guidance. Our eyes can't see, but they're there. Ask mm-hmm. and you shall receive. And one of the things that you were saying, Sal, is about what tools is asking for help. Like, that's one of my things this year was to say, I'm going to ask. I am an older generation. My mother in her life would never ask anything of anybody. She would be a giver, give, absolute giver, but never ask. And that's not a balanced way of being, right? So let's ask to help. Ask and reach out, like for all the listeners. Ask and, you know, we're here. There's people here. In that vulnerability, so much can happen. So much beauty can happen in that state of openness where somebody could say, I am here for you. Yes, of course I can help you. Yes, of course I can give you that. And this year I asked, when this grieving happened, I said, I need space. I need this more love from my kids. They would hug me, right? I asked for that support. It was hard, but please, that's what I would say, is ask for support. Like you said, you're never alone. There's people out there that have experienced these challenges. And, you know, once you start connecting to your own self, it's like, now what I do is, Maida, I'm listening. How can I help you? It's literally, I'm talking to my subconscious, like, Maida, I'm listening. And I just connect to my body. Like Chris, you were saying, we're in a society that's always like, oh, let's get back to happy. Let's go back to feeling good. Let's go here. But the other side of that is, I'm not feeling good right now. So before I rush back to the other side, let me stay here. You know, I'm listening, body. What is going on, right? What's happening? And once you connect, and it's hard because it's emotional, right? It's a heavy place. But what a gift the wisdom brings forth, right?
Yeah.
And it's just such a beautiful gift to be able to then come into that surrender and be connected, and the divine guidance that comes through at that moment for a person who's coming to you. They may not need any advice. They just want to be held space.
Yeah.
Just, I'm here. Like you said, Sal, like, you are worthy. I'm here. I'm just listening. Yeah. You know, listening with just holding that space. It's beautiful.
Exactly.
And I love the Zoom idea. It'd be great to do that.
Mm. And the other thing is, when we're sitting there in that really uncomfortable, unpleasant space, in that space of hurt, to have the tools to work with that, work through that, to break through that barrier, to break through that. And so that's where our support comes in, to empower you with the tools to do something with it. The reason we've been avoiding feeling into that space is because we don't know what to do there. It wasn't taught to us at school. It wasn't taught to us by our parents. We didn't know what to do when we got stuck there. But what we're saying is, we have tools for you so that when you are there, you can be more safe, to feel more safe to be there, because there's a series and sets of tools to which you can work your way out of that and then transform that potential. There's like, this space is just pregnant with transformational potential. That place of uncomfortability is absolutely pregnant with transformation potential. But to make it transformation requires tools, practices that make it easier for us, that make it possible. If you don't have them, we're lost. We're lost, completely lost, guiding our way. And that was each one of us, really, before we came into these tools and practices. So I guess it's a good time to just maybe share with people what kind of workshops do we have coming up to Christmas? Any workshops?
So we have, what do we have? I mean, depending when this is on, we have a, on the 12th, we have a mini webinar. So I think that's a beautiful wrapping up of the whole year. In closing, in a way, right? Like releasing everything that has happened this year and preparing for the next, which again will be, you know, a different year with its own energies and transformations that we will bring. And of course, all the teachers' events are on the website, so on the School of the Heart website. I know because of restrictions, lots of the teachers have their events like online, so you can, anywhere you are, you know, I'm sure you're going to find your language. And that's another beautiful thing, right? Listening to your own language of doing the event. So all the teachers' events are on the website as well. And the idea, you know, is for us to be here to support everybody, to share, you know, all the things that we've learned, all the experiences that we've had, and maybe find ways, you know, together share tools and techniques that can take us to the next step, create this transformation.
And I would like, and, you know, Chris, I know you'll be able to see, you know, if you're going to need to edit some of this, but I definitely would love for the live event, whoever the teachers are that are going to be involved in the live event, where we have that question and answer period, to think about something that they can give or share. And for me, Chris, and with, you know, Agathy, your blessing, I would like to propose to give healing sessions or meditation or whatever, just so that we're stepping into the solstice time with something from the teachers of the School of the Heart that are going to be participating. What is it that you would like to put out there? And that way the listeners out there are aware that they can be involved, and, you know, whether they're going through some challenges and struggles financially, as teachers, we are able to do something like that.
Yep, beautiful. So another reason to tune into our live Zoom and ask anything, ask us anything.
And that there will be definitely giveaways. So, you know, okay, some of us would probably want to offer that. I know, okay, I would, and I'm sure others would as well.
Yeah, beautiful. So once again, you can find us at theschooloftheheart.com, and we will let you know when our live Zoom will be next. So stay tuned. We love you all. Thank you for
listening. Thank you. Thank you.